This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Even those among us who don't know a whole lot about art would probably recognize Andy Warhol's Campbell soup cans, right? Icons of early 1960s pop art that they are. Last month, part of a set of Warhol's Campbell prints, including tomato and chicken noodle, that is the good soups, were stolen from the Springfield Art Museum in southwest Missouri. Hanging on the wall, they were worth about $500,000. Sitting in the back of a thief's closet or someplace else, the value proposition is a bit tougher. Laura Spencer has that story.
Museum director Nick Nelson stands inside a quiet gallery in a new wing of the building. Gray carpeting, white walls, and track lighting.
You see, this whole wall here, that was a space where we had the Warhols displayed.
That is until early the morning of April 7th, when seven of Andy Warhol's Campbell's soup can screen prints were stolen.
Our reaction is one of shock and sadness.
The Warhol prints were a source of pride, says Nelson. And because works of paper are sensitive to light, they'd only been on view a handful of times at the museum since 1985.
You know, certainly it's quite a blow to have something like this happen, not only due to the loss of the artwork, but also just the invasion of space.
Andy Warhol's classic soup can paintings date to 1962, and 250 sets of prints were made in 1968, each with 10 soups.
Tomato, black bean, onion, pepper pots, all kinds of different soups.
Denver art dealer Monica Brown says these days the soup can prints sell for about $40,000 to $45,000 each, and tomato soup, she says, is the favorite. Maybe it's childhood memories with grilled cheese sandwiches. One sold recently at auction for more than $100,000. Actually, who stole them is a mystery, but there is one strong likelihood.
About 89% of museum thefts in the United States are inside jobs.
Robert K. Whitman is a former senior investigator with the FBI's art crime team. For more than 25 years, he's chased down paintings, prints, and sculptures, sometimes going undercover. Here, he says, there were signs that thieves were amateurs because they stole well-known Warhol prints but didn't take the full set.
I mean, first of all, they're very identifiable. Secondly, you take 7 out of 10, and that diminishes the value of the whole collection.
So it looks like they were opportunistic thieves, no mastermind here.
The notion that this could have been stolen to order for some Mr. Big or Dr. No character normally is not the case, especially something like this.
Turbo Paul Hendry runs two art theft blogs. He knows his stuff. He started out as a con man, going door to door, trying to buy artwork or antiques for less than they're worth. Stolen art often goes to a trusted hand, Hendry says, someone who buys stolen goods for not a lot of money.
So they would perhaps sell them for, say, $10,000. Then the person that buys them for $10,000 maybe would then sell them to what's called a criminal venture capitalist, who may pay $20,000 for them, wrap them up, and then put them away.
Until interest dies down, which could mean years. Other options, the works could be sold to a drug dealer or exchanged for narcotics. Of course, someone in the know could lead the police to where the prints are, especially for a reward. The FBI says rewards are considered generally effective, although there's no real data. They've offered $25,000 in this case, and Hendry says that could be an incentive.
In this instance, $25,000 on $500,000 worth of stolen Warhols is actually round about 5%, which is actually quite good.
Springfield Art Museum officials are hoping their situation won't be like what's been described as the holy grail of art heists. Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum in Boston, where $500 million worth of artwork has still not been recovered after nearly 30 years. In Kansas City, I'm Laura Spencer for Marketplace.